My message is, don't panic, do something, and trust God. First of all, before I look at 1 Samuel 14, I'd have us look at Acts 16. Acts 16. In Acts chapter 16, Paul, he's starting a church there at Philippi. And things are moving right along, and he gets a little harassment from this one demon-possessed gal. As they go to prayer meeting, she say, "These are the men of God, and they talk to us the way of life," and so on. And she just shout after him. It was a mocking sort of an announcement. A demon was in her, and she was a fortune teller. And boy, she got people's attention. And Paul and his friend Silas were just on their way to a prayer meeting. And here's all this attention that they weren't really counting on. He's not trying to have a street meeting at the moment. And so anyway, finally he turns around when she follows him one day, and he casts the demon out of her. He tells the demon to depart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does. Well, she lost her fortune-telling ability, and she became a normal person. She no longer participated in the demon's activity, and she was a slave, and the owners were upset, and they took him to the magistrates, and they trumped up a bunch of lies about him, and got him convicted, and then the magistrates had him beaten, and Paul and Silas, and then they were turned over to the jailer, and the jailer is putting them in stocks, and both their hands and their feet are in stocks, and it's not a very comfortable position, and they got a lot of body pain, all right, but one thing's for sure, they don't panic. And they want to do something and trust the Lord. And so they decided to sing. Have a sing-spiration. I've never had a sing-spiration in a moment like that where I'm in pain and my feet and arms are all tied up. And but anyway, that's what they decided to do. And so in chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They had an audience. All right. Well, when you got an audience, and hey, this would be a good time to have a little street meet, a prison ministry. And so they start preaching and testifying and singing. And then God sent an earthquake, and doors come ajar, the stocks fall off, and thank you, Lord. And that wasn't really comfortable anyway, the way we were. And the jailer, he's afraid that because of all the doors off their hinges, anybody can walk out of there now. And his life is forfeit, Roman law, if the prisoners escape. And so nobody died when Epstein went missing. And hey, here it's different. And the jailer comes in with the candle, and he sees these guys still there. He was afraid the jail would be empty. And and he said, "You don't need to be afraid." He was going to take his life. He had a sword ready to take his life and to commit suicide because the Romans would kill him anyhow. And you do yourself no harm. We're all here, Paul said. And he heard the preaching too. Well, he didn't think he needed it. But at that moment, when he thought he was going into eternity, and these men, what they had to say about Jesus Christ, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. It all makes sense right now. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, he did. And well, there are things that happen to us and we don't know all the whys and wherefores. But one thing we need to do is not panic. Don't panic and do something and trust the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel and 1 Samuel. And chapter 14. And 1 Samuel chapter 14 verse 6 says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Now, in chapter 13, Saul became king of Israel. In chapter 14, Jonathan enters the scene here. We see that he's a man of faith. He had already whipped one Philistine garrison with 1,000 men. And then the Philistines got all upset that one of their forts in the land of Israel was overtaken. And so they come out in great hordes of them and tribes of them. They come, it's like the sands of the sea, innumerable. And so they come into the land of Israel, and they're going to beat these upstarts. And well, at that point, Saul, he sounded... blew the horn, and the men of Israel come out. But when they felt the earth shaken from the coming of the enemy, they begin to shrink and hide themselves behind the rocks and trees. And all that's left is 600 men with Saul, and he's sitting under a pomegranate tree, trying to figure out, now what do I do with just 600 men? Now, especially with the mass of army that's coming against us. And so while he's sitting there trying to figure that one out, Jonathan knows his dad is at the moment stumped. And so he takes his armor bearer and he says, let's go check things out. And he did a little checking out things, the enemy and the situation. And they see this cliff, and you got to climb up. And he said to his armor bearer, he said, let's climb this thing up. If they say, when they see us, if they say, come up here, then we know the Lord's given them into our hands. Or if they say, stay down there and we'll come down and we'll whoop your hides, then we'll know that the Lord is with us and we're gonna win. And so no matter how it turns out, Jonathan instructs his sidekick, we're going to win. The Lord is with us. Don't panic and do something. That's what we're about to do. We're going to do something. And now, we don't want to do something foolish. If you ask God for wisdom and strength, he will bring to mind something that you can do. And my brother's been a real testimony to me over the years. He's learned my dad's trade. My dad was a plumber, electrician, heating man. And when he had the grocery store, I stayed with Mom to run it while Dad and brother went out to do these other things. I could dig a ditch, but I couldn't fix a water heater if my life depended on me. I watched Dad as he would fix a sump pump. And so many times when I've been with Dad and fix a sump pump out in the country somewhere where they got cattle and need water. And I would say, Dad, how come it seems like you don't do the same thing every time to fix this thing? He said, son, there's a number of things that can go wrong. Sometimes you pull up 120 feet of black pipe and a plastic pipe, and you change a jet down at the bottom, you know. And my dad always knew what to do. I just could never figure out how he could keep track of all the things that could go wrong. Sometimes it was just a little thing on the pump itself. Other times there was no hope, and he went to Indianapolis and got a new one for him. But whenever he could, he'd fix it, and instead of having him buy a new one. And, well, I couldn't keep up with all the innumerable things that could go wrong with a water pump. And that just baffled me. Plumbing always baffles me. Our toilet quit working right. And I wasn't about to hire, you know, $100 just to get their guy and then pay him for his time. And my dad was a plumber. And well, my brother said to me different times over the phone, he said, when I go to do a job, he says, I look at it and I check a few things and I pray and I say, God, help me fix this. Now, in my mind, he's like Dad. He knows everything. He can fix anything. But this is his key. He always looks at it, checks a few things out, and then prays, God, now help me fix this thing. And God always helps him. Well, I thought if he can do it, I can do it. And so I went about to call my brother and wake him up here. And I take the thing off. You know, it's been leaking. You have to pull the thing and lift the bulb up, because otherwise just keep running up your water bill. And we've been doing that for about a week, all right? And today's the day. I got to fix it. And I say, okay, now, Lord, I know this much. If you lift it, it'll quit running. But, Lord, there's got to be a solution to this thing. And so I prayed and asked the Lord to give me wisdom. And James chapter 1 says, ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Just don't be double-minded. And I had been, when I worked at Majestic Nursing Home, they were remodeling one wing, and they were getting rid of a lot of plumbing stuff, you know, toilets, sinks, and all kinds of things, and ripping out some plywood from some old cabinets and things. And they set it out back, and before the junk man comes to get it, the maintenance guy, he's a Christian man, and he would say to me, hey, there's some stuff out back there. If you want any of it for your church, go ahead, you know. And so I got about three different toilets, and I never needed but one of them. And so finally, you know, just toilets unused sitting in the back of your junk room, you know. It takes up space. I had a couple sinks too, and countertops and things, and there's a future bathroom that's going to get fixed up, but it's not ready yet, all right? And finally, I busted up two of the toilets and sent it with the pile of junk, but I saved the guts of it. I knew this is the kind of thing my dad would get, you know, to fix a toilet. Well, I went down to the stock room, and I got two sets of plumbing fittings that go inside of a toilet tank, and I brought it up, and I studied things over, and I prayed, and little by little, within 20 minutes, I had it fixed. It's a miracle, a modern-day miracle. Elmer Cox actually fixed a toilet. My dad was probably up in heaven saying, at last, I taught him how to do this time and time again. He finally did it. Oh, boy, he probably had an angel chorus singing. And at last, some things never happen for your children till you're dead and gone. And they do catch on eventually, all right? And well, hallelujah. And don't panic. And do something. Yeah, pray for wisdom. That was the key. My brother said on fixing anything. And so we got her fixed. Do something, but pray for wisdom. And God will lead you. God will lead you. And trust Him. Trust the Lord. I want to share with you one of my favorite verses, Psalms 62. I like to read through the Psalms every month. First day of the month, I read Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, Psalm 91, Psalm 121. And then the next day, it's Psalm 2 and 32 and so on. But anyway, I always look forward to the second day of the month, and I read it many times in between. Psalm 62. It's one of those verses that if I tried to quote it, I'd mess it up, so I always look at it. But I look at it time and again. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times. That's the part I remember. Trust in Him at all times. There'll be many a time that, like when I was fixing the toilet, I'd say, this is one of those times, Lord, I'm trusting in You. Or I'm puzzling over how to build the shed. I watch another YouTube how-to, and three different people on how to build a shed. So one of them actually was trying to do what I was trying to do and build one on the back wall of the house, okay? So that's a little bit different. And also it was going to have a lean-to type situation on the roof instead of the normal, like most sheds are. I had read a lot, but when it comes to actually and made out plans and corresponding figures, so I know how much to wood to get of what, and I'd say two houses were being torn down in our area, and I got a lot of lumber from that, so I'd already cut it up to size and so forth, I'm ready to build the frame on the back wall of the house. One thing about a house built in 1860, now it's 2021. Time has a way of distorting. When they built it, it was perfect, all right? But time has a way of distorting a few things. And so it wasn't a perfect wall that I was trying to attach this shed to. I had to pray. I'd say, Lord, now how am I going to do this? The figures aren't coming out right here. I'd say, this is one of those times, Lord, I need to trust in You and pour out my heart to You. That's what it says here, Psalm 62, 8. Trust in Him at all times. Even when you have a plumbing problem or a carpenter problem, trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. I like that. God says, go ahead, tell me like it is. I already know anyway. Go ahead, pour out your heart before Me. I feel complete freedom to go ahead and tell Him what's on my heart, how things are stacking up, and how I need His help. God is a refuge for us. It's okay. You can tell Him. You can express it. When you read through the Psalms, David really tells it like it is, what he's going through. I feel free then to do that. Well, trust in Him at all times. And so many a time when I'm at the end of my rope, I say, God, this is one of those times, ain't it? And so here it is. And so I'll tell Him. We got to be careful not to panic, do something, and trust in Him at all times. All right. We have Jonathan, he and his sidekick are down here at the bottom of this cliff. The Philistines are up there. There are bunches of them on the other side of that cliff. And they looked down and they said, hey, look, some of those Israelites come out from hiding. And they have a big laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, boy. Hey, come on up here. We'll show you a thing or two. They're just sure those two won't come up. But Jonathan says, that's our cue. God's going to give us a victory. And so he starts climbing up, and the sidekick's with him. And they're going, and they climb up there. And Jonathan and King Saul are the only two at this point that have a sword. And so the Philistines kind of remind me of the folks that run Washington, D.C. right now. They don't want you to have any arms, okay? You gotta. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. And so anyway, but he's got one. And they get up there, and he fights the first guy and gets him. Now his sidekick picks up the dead man's sword, and they're fighting with all they got, and they're killing. After 20, the Bible says, after 20 Philistines fall dead, one after another, the rest of them are saying, whoa, whoa, these guys are real powerhouses. And they turn and run. And then God throws in a little sound effects. An earthquake shakes up the place. And boy, they really pick up the speed on running. And, well, there's a victory that day. Remember what Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor? Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. I remember when Anita and I were traveling in evangelism, and we had a meeting up in Angola, Indiana. And I remember when I was a teenager at First Baptist Church, and that church was started in Angola when I was a teenager. And I remember we'd take up a dollar offering and on Wednesday night, and I had a paper out, so I had fun giving. I was giving as much as the rich guy gave. You know, it was just a dollar offering. And so anyway, I felt like I was helping to do something for God, giving my dollar. It felt good. And here's this church that now that I've already been through college, and I've been in ministry, and now I'm in evangelistic ministry, and I get to go to this church that my dollars helped start. And so it was an exciting opportunity. Not only that, the man who was at that time pastoring the church was a fellow who hired me between my sophomore and junior year at Bible college to come up to his church in the summertime and be his youth pastor and get some experience. He was had been a missionary in Martinique, and due to health problems, he had come back to the States. But he was the second pastor in this church in Elwood, Indiana. The guy before him had started the church and done a great job. And they were meeting in a house. And well, this fellow was the pastor, and Pastor Cunningham. And he gave me a chance to work for him when I was still in Bible college. It was a great blessing. A man of God who served God on the mission field and was handling anything a new church has to deal with, and in faith in God, and giving me a fresh start. That summer helped me. When I went back to Bible college, I was listening to my professors with a new set of ears. I was eager to learn because of the little experience I got, and I had a lot of questions. I was ready to get some answers. And so anyway, it makes you more teachable. Well, I was so grateful for that. Now he's a pastor up at this church in Angola, and he's got a lot of health problems. I'd heard about that. And I hadn't seen him in some years. And so when I get up there, my wife and I, and Julie was just a baby then. And so a lady comes up to my wife and I and starts talking to us and saying, oh, we are so fortunate to have Pastor Cunningham. Well, I could agree to that. I knew he was a great man of God. And Our church has really been going through a tough time. We were really down and on our way out when the money people in our church, they left. And the pastor we had before here, he left. I knew who that guy was. And I had prayed for him back when he started that church. And so he took a church in Virginia. And when the money guys left, he thought it was hopeless, I guess. But anyway, they had a Christian school, and they had just built a gymnasium. And that's when things went south somehow, and problems came. And they felt like, we're going to lose it all. We still owe money, and the money bags have left. And Pastor Cunningham came to our church. He became our pastor, even though he has heart trouble. He came to our church. Folks, Moses had his biggest ministry when he was 80 years old, okay? And I feel like Pastor Cunningham had his biggest ministry yet when he had heart trouble and he was only going to live 2 more years. And but anyway, here he was. And she said, he has really helped us. And he's in and out of the hospital, but he's always praying for us, and he always tells us, don't panic, don't panic, and just keep doing what you know to do, and trust God at all times. And he finally looked the books over, and he announced to us not long ago that he saw who gave what for the last 5 years, and he said, those money bags people, they only tipped God. They weren't tithing. It's you guys that paid for that gymnasium and is still paying for it. It's you guys who paid for this church that's been built. And it's you folks. You're the tithers. You sacrifice to give, and God blesses. And that's why the church is going forward and will go forward because of you. Just keep on. Don't panic. And you just do what you can and trust God at all times. And so they picked up their hearts. They were re-encouraged. And they just gave it all they got with a new fervor. Well, we had a great week of revival meetings there, and it was a joy to see Pastor Cunningham again. And that church continued to go forward. And when he passed on to heaven, they were in great spirits. And a wonderful ex-Marine who was an ordained preacher and a principal at Anderson at a million-dollar Christian school over there. And he was ready for a ministry, and they asked him to come. He became their pastor, and he's a great man of God too, and their church continued to grow, and they finished out the gymnasium, and the man and his wife were experienced school teachers, and their Christian school blossomed. God continued the work. They just had to not panic when things look really down. They just had to do what they can, do something, and trust God at all times. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you you're with us at all times. Lord, we thank you that when things look kind of bad for some reason or another, that's a good time to just trust in God. It's a good time to pour our hearts out to you, Lord, and just make you our refuge. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray that you continue to bless Brother Weigel up there in Michigan and the ministry up there. And we thank you for his son serving you and all these years. And Lord, bless their time together. And thank you, Lord, for this church who stands strong for you and serves you. Praise for their missionaries and praise for us. And thank you, Lord, for their prayer ministry. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here at this church. Thank you, Lord, for our brother who had the service here this afternoon and speaking tonight, and bless his ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the Ethiopian Bible in progress there, and the translation's done, and it's time to press, get it in the press. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, how you raise the money. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for great things ahead in Ethiopia. And Lord, we pray that you be with these folks today. Give them a great day and a great week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.